why we believe there's a rapture. And it really is not something that's just in the New Testament. The foundation of it is found in the Old Testament. We've been looking at Daniel chapter 9 and the last four verses of that chapter. And they're very important to a dispensational approach to Scripture. And we are dispensationalists. Reformed theologians are not dispensationalists. They don't believe that the Scriptures are divided as we see them divided. But there are, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, we find that 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city. Now those 70 weeks are 70 weeks of years. The Jews oftentimes use weeks as years. And we looked at that in Leviticus 16 and 23, I believe it is. And you can go back and look that up. But these are weeks of years. So there are 70 weeks, that's 490 years, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now we haven't seen those things in reality. The foundation of the fulfilling of those things that are going to come upon that holy city, the holy city is Jerusalem, have been set. The foundation has been planned through Jesus Christ, but they haven't been fulfilled yet. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. Now we know that those seven weeks this is coming to the building of the temple from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. We dated that to the Messiah. Shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 weeks it took to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, which was 49 years. And then 62 weeks would bring us to about this time 2,000 years ago, or something, not quite 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ came into the city of Jerusalem. There's a 69 weeks. 69 weeks or 434 years. From Daniel's prophecy to the entrance of Jesus Christ, which we call his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, was 434 years, almost to the date. We took those times and we put them on the board. I'm not going to go back over them. Then after that, after the 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off. That was his death. And you notice you underline the word after. After those 62 weeks, after he entered into the city in his triumphal entry, then a few days later he was put on the cross and crucified. The Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood, and unto desolation, unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So we went through all that. We saw that it could refer to Titus coming in and destroying the city of Jerusalem. But we also note in verse 27 that there's someone further down the road that it was looking at, and that was the Antichrist. And this is what we're looking at now. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, that is, even unto the end. And that which is determined shall be poured out upon the desolator. And I have that on the board. We were looking at what the Antichrist will do in the 70th week. And we saw he's going to confirm the covenant. He's going to cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. He's going to go into the temple. He's going to stop the Jews from offering up their sacrifices. The temple has been rebuilt. He's going to overspread the overspreading of the abomination. He's going to take his place in the temple. And that which is determined will be poured out upon the desolator. Actually, that should be translated that way. What I was doing last week is I was telling you that there are things that are determined. That which is determined will come to pass. And I'm taking you over to the book of Revelation, and I'm showing you some of the things that are going to happen. What did God determine to happen during that period of time, that last 7 weeks? And we looked at Revelation chapter 6 and 7. We saw the seven seals of judgment. They begin in the first 3.5 years. So immediately after the rapture, after the church is taken out, the tribulation is going to begin. The seals will be opened up, and the judgments will come forth. We saw in Revelation chapter 8 and 11, that's where we're at right now, and we'll pick that up in just a few moments. Revelation 8 through 11, we saw the seven trumpets of judgment, and that's beginning in the middle of the tribulation, going through the last 3.5 years. And then we will see Revelation 16 and 17, the bold judgments, and these are near the end of the 7 years. What I was trying to share with you is that what's happening during that period of time, the desolator is going to be, things are going to happen. In the tribulation period, things are going to happen like never happened before. And it's going to be a terrible time. We think of the Antichrist ruling, and he's bringing peace for the first 3.5 years. Well, relatively so. Maybe he plans it, but peace, peace, and there is no peace. And there's all kinds of things happening. We looked at the seven seals. First of all, we saw in those seals, if you want to turn back to the book of Revelation with me, and turn to Revelation chapter 6 very quickly. Revelation chapter 6. Let me turn back there. In verse 2 of Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, and I saw the Lamb open, in verse 1, he opened the seals. In verse 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, a lot of people take that verse and say, that's Christ. That is not Christ. That's the Antichrist. That's the Antichrist. He signed a covenant. He's now bringing peace to the world. All right? That's what he's promised them. Peace. Verses 3 and 4, peace is removed. We looked at that last week. I'm just rehearsing it very quickly with you. I'll go over them, go down the line with you. The peace is removed in verses 3 and 4. In the third seal is comes famine. The result of the removal of peace is war. The result of war, the devastation that's left behind, there's famine, there's crops are not growing, they've been destroyed. The fourth seal is a fourth of the population of the world is killed. That's about 1.75 billion people that are being killed. We're going to see, we saw that the saints will be killed. Many saints or believers are going to be killed in the tribulation. The sixth seal is the great convulsions on the earth, and stars fall from heaven. Things are going to happen like has never happened before. We looked at the seventh seal, and that is in chapter 8, verse 1. So if you want to turn over there, just this all review right now very quickly. He opens the eighth seal, and the eighth seal, under that eighth seal is seven trumpets. The first trumpet is a third of the grass and the trees are burned. Just the third on the earth. The second is the judgment of the sea. The sea is going to be judged. A burning mountain explodes, and it probably a volcano. And a result, it fell into the sea. There may have been a chemical reaction, the dust from that volcano around the world. That shouldn't be, for an evolutionist, that shouldn't sound too odd. He believes that the dinosaurs became extinct because of a volcano, and the dust had killed them all. And we don't believe that, but it's very possible that this volcano will just spread its ashes all over the world, and as a result, will contaminate the sea, and it will give up its life. One third of life, and one third of the ships will go down in the sea. Now, I think that's about where we left off last time. Are there any questions? I'm going to go through this very quickly with you. Very quickly. These are things that are going to be happening. There are certain things that are happening on the desolator and upon his kingdom. These are the things that are happening. The third is found in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Let's look at them very quickly. Chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and fell a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the water. I don't know how that's going to happen. I believe it will happen. Very likely that it will turn the water bitter. It may be because of the force of that star hitting this earth that it could happen. It hits a particular place on this planet, and it spreads its contamination through all the waters of the land. The water supplies are polluted. Just think, what would happen if a star fell on Three Mile Island? Immediate contamination. Or if it fell, remember in Japan, the tsunami destroyed and contaminated so much. All these are possible. Now, a lot of people like to say, well, these are symbols. It's just symbolism. I'm not sure that it's symbolism. I literally take them. I can see this happening. I don't know how it's going to happen, but if God says the star is going to fall and the rivers are going to be contaminated and the water supplies are going to be contaminated, I believe that. The fourth trumpet is found in verses 12 and 13. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard a flying angel through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. There are woes that are coming upon them. Terrible things. The environmentalists are going to go crazy. Do you know that? Their minds are going to be blown. They don't understand. Global warming, they haven't seen anything yet. And when it happens, it's going to happen. And we're not going to be here, by the way. We're raptured out before that. So you can be thankful that I'm only showing you these things to show you what's going to take place on this earth after the rapture takes place, and the desolator is going to be made desolate. And these are things that are happening in his kingdom and his world at that time. The fifth trumpet is found in chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. I'm not going to read all of it. But in this, a fallen star, possibly when it talks about, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Many commentators believe that this is Satan. That he comes and he opens up the bottomless pit and releases out of that. There's smoke and vapor, and he talks about the locusts that come forth. These are maybe demons that come forth that have been his armies are loosed at that particular time. They're like scorpions, and they torment men for 5 months. Apparently, they're bites. Or wounds of these scorpions are like these scorpion creatures are like wounds, painful. There's no relief. You just don't know what to do. They take a hold of you, and there's terrible pain with these scorpions. And those afflicted, they want to die. Notice verse 6 of this chapter, 9:6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. They probably would like to die, and they want to commit suicide, but they're not able to do that. And so the affliction comes, and it just keeps gnawing away. 5 months of absolute pain. The sixth trumpet sounds in Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 to 21. The sixth trumpet. An army of 200 million soldiers are released. And a third of the living population at that time, now we saw that a quarter of the population was destroyed earlier. There were many other deaths. There were saints that died. There were other people that died. Now comes this army of 200 million, and a third of the earth's population now is killed. So you have well over a half a million people, or half of the population of the world, have already passed away. In 9:21, it seems to imply that during this period of time, men will be committing crimes. Notice what he says in verse 20. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Just one word here. The word sorceries there is pharmakeia. And we get our word pharmacy from this. It's the drug culture. And the murders will continue. The fornication will continue. Rapes, murders, all those types of things. Drugs. People will be robbed. There will be thefts. It will not be a pleasant time on this earth. And yet the Antichrist promises peace. Promise them peace, not us. Promise them peace. The sixth trumpet then brings this army of 2 million men released. These are probably from the east. This would be China, Korea, Iran, moving across and just destroying the land. Yes.
Right.
Right. Yes. Yes. I'll pick that up a little bit later. Yes, that is happening. We're going to come. The Battle of Armageddon, or the conflict of Armageddon, will begin, and these soldiers will be involved in that. Matthew 24. I'm sorry, Daniel. Go ahead. I think so. Now, remember, by this time, he's setting himself up in the temple as if he's God. And he ought to be, God ought to be able to control all this, but everything's falling apart. It's absolutely falling apart on him. And yet he's his viciousness and his hatred is just coming out, just killing. That's all he can think about. And control. He wants to be like God. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, I don't have this on the screen, but I can get it up there. No, I don't have it up there. We'll look at the seventh one in just a moment. But Matthew 24, 22 says, "And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved." And the 7 years, they have to be 7 years, or there wouldn't be anything left. I mean, we've lost well over a half of the population already on the planet Earth. And just think about this now. The church has been taken out, and over half of what was left is gone, and destruction is not ended yet. It's still continuing. Now, the seventh trumpet is found in chapter 11, verse 15. So you want to turn over there. This is the return of Christ. Now you have the return of Jesus Christ. Now, let me remind you of something as I'm thinking about this. These sort of overlap. The seals begin at the beginning of the tribulation, but they continue. The trumpets begin in the middle of the tribulation, but they continue. So these are things that are happening, building one on top of another. These don't all happen at once, but they're sort of a process of building. And so it's going to be a terrible time on this earth. Terrible time. I don't know how anyone can read these chapters and not scare them to death and want to turn to Jesus Christ. And yet I read in this particular, when we read through them last week, they didn't repent. They didn't repent. They didn't want the truth. Now you have a ministry going on during this time. Remember, you had the 144,000. You have the witnesses that are raised from the dead, and there's a witnessing going on, and a multitude of people are being saved. But the Antichrist and his people and his demons and his power and those who have the mark of the beast, they will not repent. They don't want to turn to God. They don't want him. And I don't know how you can read this and come away and say, well, you know, doesn't matter. But they don't. All right, the seventh seal then is in chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel responded, and there was a great voice of heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of Christ, and shall reign forever and ever." This is the beginning. Now, Christ is returning now. All right, the seventh seal. This is at the end. Now we're moving up to the end of the tribulation period. That's why I say these trumpets and these seals, they spread throughout the whole period of time. Although the trumpets began in the middle, they'll go right to the end. The seals began at the beginning of the tribulation. They sort of spread. They cross over in some places into the last part of the tribulation also. Is that understandable?
What about the bowls? What do you mean?
They're coming in.
Do they come in the
whole thing, or do they? No, they come in right at the end. Yeah, they come right close to the end. Move up there. The bowls. These come at the second half, towards the end of the second half of the tribulation, all right? 16:2, let's see, there's where we want to go. 16:2 for the bowls. Now Christ is in the seventh trumpet. Now Christ is returning, and we're nearing the end. This is the preparation for the campaign against the Christ, and Satan's going to bring his forces together and try to destroy him. And of course, they have no power to do that. They will not be able to do that. So turn over to chapter 16. We'll look at verse 3. Actually, verses 1 and 2, the first bowl. And I heard a voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your way and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went forth and poured out the bowl upon the earth, and there was a great foul and painful sore upon men who had the mark of the beast, and upon them who worshipped his image. So now again we're dealing with the beast and his people. This is the Antichrist and his people, and these sores come, these terrible sores come upon men, and just on those who have the mark of the beast. Verse 3 brings the second bowl. And the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became like blood of dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. We saw a third of it earlier died, now the rest of it's dying. The whole thing, the sea turns to blood. If you go back to when God took Moses out of Egypt, what happened to the waters in Egypt? Turned to blood. They turned to blood. Is God able to do that? Absolutely. That's no problem with God. It becomes lifeless. I don't know what the stench of that's going to be like. I'll tell you a story. This is a personal story. When I was in college, when we played football, we didn't have face masks. And in the first half, I was knocked unconscious. And I was taken out of the game. And halftime, we went, and it was a very warm day. We sat under some trees in Juniata College. And the coach came to me, and he said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you all right to start the second half?" And I said, "Sure." Now, I didn't know what I was saying, apparently. Because the kickoff, we were kicking off to the other team, and the guy caught the ball. And I ran down to tackle him, this just out of instinct. And apparently he put his helmet down, and his helmet hit me right in the face. And I can remember rolling over and spitting out teeth. And I lost 4 teeth. That night, I was in my room, and I don't know what happened. It bled, but a sack of blood came out of my mouth. I don't know what that would be called. Maybe you nurses know more about this, or doctors know more about that. But I can't tell you the stench that was. That blood, it was terrible. And I didn't know what to do. I was scared. I mean, I never saw anything like that. And finally, I just ripped it off. I went in the bathroom and ripped it off. But the stench. And the fish are dead. Everything in the sea is dead. The third bowl, in verses 4 through 7, the third bowl is released. And all the rivers and the fountains of the water turned to blood. The sea turned to blood, now all the waters turned to blood. Bowl 4 is found in verses 8 and 9. The sun became so hot that it scorched men with fire. You talk about climate change, this will be climate change. This is real climate change. It's going to be so hot that it'll scorch men who are in the sun. The fifth bowl is found in verses 10 and 11. And it's interesting what it says. Notice what it says. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongue for pain. His kingdom became black, dark. As a matter of fact, in the Greek, it uses a perfect, it's what we call a perfect passive paraphrastic. It means that it not only turned, but it continued to be dark. It just didn't happen for a short period of time. It continued to be dark. His kingdom became darkness. It filled it. The sixth bowl in verse 12. We have the drying up of the Euphrates River in verse 12. Let me get back and find it here. And the sixth bowl poured out, and the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now that's the 200 million army that's coming from the east. The river Euphrates is dried up. Now they can march across that and come in. They're moving towards Jerusalem. They're going there to march against Christ, or march against the city. And we have the Battle of Armageddon. This matches, by the way, the sixth seal. If you look at the sixth seal, very similar. You have the 2 million army. Now you have the reason they're coming. The river's dried up. They can move. The seventh bowl is found in verses 18 through 21. A great earthquake. Notice what it says at verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities and the nations fell. I suspect that the great city here would be Babylon. And it divided in three parts. And the great Babylon came to remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains that were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail from heaven, or out of heaven, hailstones, 75 pounds. Hail, 75 pounds. Terrible time coming on this earth. About the weight of a talent is about 75 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, and the plague was exceedingly great. So we're coming to the end now, and now we're going to get prepared. And Christ has come back, as we saw in the trumpets. He's come back in the seventh trumpet. He's on earth at this point. And now they're battling. They're going to come against him and against Jerusalem and against the people of the Jewish people. And the Battle of Armageddon will now begin, or the campaign of Armageddon. Would you like to go through it very quickly? Just to show you what's going to happen. We turn to Revelation chapter 14, because it's spread out as you go through the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. I didn't put these up for you. I should have done that. Excuse me. The Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 20. Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 20. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ returning. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, and the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. And another angel out from the altar, who had a power of fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of wine and the earth, and of the vine of the earth, and her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered in the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, you know how much that is? A furlong, those furlongs are about 180 miles. And for 180 miles, there was blood up to the horse's bridle. Now, where would all that blood come from? $200 million men army marching against the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into the city, 200 million soldiers. The sickle comes. Turn over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Beginning verse 17. Revelation 19, 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying unto all the fowl of the that fly in the midst of the heavens, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat of the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of the horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of men, both free and enslaved, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now this is, you got to read in. Now remember, the 2,000 men army are coming, and we just read a little bit what's going to happen to them. And the beast was taken, and him that's and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them, that he received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So you have now the lake of fire has begun. You have now Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years were ended, well, let me go back here. We've got to pick this up a little bit more. In chapter 20, verses 1 to 6, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and the pit of a great chain, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon and the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he was loose for a little season. Now, we believe, from a dispensational point of view, that when the Battle of Armageddon takes place, at the end of the tribulation period, the Satan will be bound and will be placed in a bottomless pit. And he will be there for 1,000 years. Christ will reign for 1,000 years on this earth without interference from Satan or the demons. Now when those 1,000 years end, turn over to chapter 20, verse 7. When those 1,000 years are over, and when the 1,000 years are ended. Are those literal years? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's no mistake. 1,000 years. Just like it's no mistake that there's 7 years in Daniel's prophecy in this tribulation period, and then we divide it in the New Testament, we find it's divided by 1,360 days or 3.5 years for each portion of that. You can't just make those symbols. Those fit all together. And the desolator is going to be desolated. We saw what's going to happen on this earth. We see that Satan's bound, and now at the end of the millennial kingdom, he's loose for a period of a short period of time. Verse 7, and 1,000 years are ended, Satan became loosed and out of his prison, and shall go forth to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now let me say something about this so you understand. During the millennial kingdom, there will be children born. Many, many children will be born. The earth is going to be repopulated. The people that enter into the millennial kingdom are saved people. These are people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have accepted Him as the Messiah. And so they enter into the millennial kingdom just in their natural body, just like you and I are right here today. And they will conceive children in the millennial kingdom. They live. There's no death in the millennial kingdom. They multiply and multiply and multiply. The problem with those children that are born in the millennial kingdom and those who entered the millennial kingdom, they still have an old sin nature. And during the millennial kingdom, the gospel will be preached, but there are some who are not going to believe it. And it's those who do not believe the gospel who will join Satan and his forces to fight against Christ once again. Yes. No. They will have the Holy Spirit, but not like you and I. You and I have the Holy Spirit in the sense that we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. They will not be baptized by the Holy Spirit. They will be born again by the Spirit. They will be sealed by the Spirit. They will be indwelt by the Spirit. There will be gifts. I don't know what kind of gifts will be given. Maybe it will revert back to what it was in the Old Testament. All right? Remember, we're in a gap. You and I live in a gap period. So how it ended at the beginning of the church age, it will pick up at the end in the tribulation and going into the millennial kingdom. And the Spirit will work the same way He worked prior to the gap. He will work after the gap. So when they enter into the millennial kingdom, they will have the Spirit just like you and I, except they will not have been baptized by the Spirit. Yes, they will. Well, there's a lot of others. But they're not a part of Christ. The body is taken out. They can read that the body has been removed. The rapture has taken place. And what they will revert back to and what they will put their main stress on in the tribulation period will be 1st and 2nd Peter and the prophets. But in the millennial kingdom, Christ will be there with them. He's fulfilling His promises. They won't have a problem with that. They won't worry about the church. The church, I'll get to the church in just about where we're going to be. All right? Because we do have a part in this, but it's a unique part. The tribulation happens before the millennium, right. Where we're taken out before the tribulation. Before the tribulation. That's where it starts. With the rapture of the church, then the 7 years, Daniel's 70th week begins. That 1 week of Daniel now begins right after the rapture of the church. The man of sin is revealed. He confirms the covenant with Israel. He breaks the covenant with Israel. But at the same time, all those seals are being broken in the tribulation period. Now, when the tribulation period ends, how does it end? Well, Christ comes back and the battle of Armageddon takes place. Satan's bound for 1,000 years. Then we have the millennial kingdom, relative peace. I mean, there's no wars or anything in the millennial kingdom, but there are people who are born in the millennial kingdom having an old sin nature will not accept the gospel of the kingdom. They don't want Christ to rule over them. They don't. It's not that they're bad people necessarily. They just don't want anyone to tell them what to do. They don't need a leader. And any sin that is overt, in other words, if they act upon their natures, Christ will judge them immediately. When the Scripture says that He will rule with a rod of iron, means it'll be a harsh rule. So someone that breaks the rules will be punished immediately. But not all the unsaved people are going to break the rules. But at the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan is loose for a short period of time. These people will gather together with him to fight against Christ. They don't like Christ ruling over them. Yes, Earl? No, the only ones that enter into the millennial kingdom are those who are saved. Right. The ones who are born in the millennial kingdom, then there's some of them, many of them will accept the gospel, but some of them will not. Sue?
Are
Well, if they listen to the Word of God and they believe God's Word, I suspect that many of them will. He doesn't pick them up. They're saved. See, the 144,000 will preach the gospel in the kingdom. Or, I'm sorry, in the tribulation. Christ hasn't come back yet. Why? Well, there's a lot of people. There's more than 144,000 when Christ comes back. There's more than 144,000. There's going to be a great multitude of people that are saved in the tribulation period. The Jews that flee, it doesn't matter. Some of them may flee just because they're afraid of what's happening, and they'll flee to the mountains, and they want the mountains to fall on them. They're not saved. There will be many people saved. When it all begins, those who are in Jerusalem and who listen to the Word of God will flee to the mountains. Now, many of those will be saved. I don't know how many, but there are other people that will join them that are not saved. I mean, we read in the seals that they flee, they go into hiding. They go to the cave. They want the mountains to fall on them. They're not saved. Everyone that believes that those are the only ones who will be left.
Right.
And they will go into the money of... All those who are saved in the tribulation will enter into the money of the kingdom. It will be the 144,000, but it will be a multitude of others too. It's just not 144,000 to enter into the money of the kingdom. Now, during the millennium, during the tribulation period, there's great evangelistic work going on. I mean, there's a multitude of people being saved. Some of them, not all of them, some of them will be martyred. They will be killed. You remember John asked the question, who are these with white robes? And he goes on to tell them, those are those who came out of the great tribulation and were beheaded for Christ's sake. So there's a great multitude that are killed in the tribulation period. But there's a great multitude that are left behind too. And they, with 144,000 who have sealed, will enter into the millennial kingdom after the Battle of Armageddon is over. Does that make sense? Or are you still not sure? I'm not sure what you're driving at, the ones that hide in the caves. Well, that's true. But it's not just 144,000. There's a multitude of people. There's a great number of people who are going to enter into the millennial kingdom. The ones who are martyred won't have a body of flesh and blood like you and I have. They will have a glorified body. They will enter into the millennial. See, after the end of the tribulation, there's going to be a resurrection. That's what Jews, Old Testament saints, Jews and Gentiles will be resurrected. They will enter into the millennial kingdom. Let me just show you. I have it down here. After the end of the Satan's bound, you have the next great event is the resurrection of the just. That's the first resurrection. Christ sets up his kingdom. The millennial kingdom begins. All right? Those who enter into the millennial kingdom will be those who have survived the tribulation and are believers. But there will be many more people entering into the millennial kingdom. There will be those who have believed and had the promises that God had given them in the Old Testament and in the tribulation who have been killed. They will be raised at that point. And they will go into the millennial kingdom. Then in Revelation chapter 20, Satan's released. We just looked at that. He gathers the hostile armies against Christ. Those hostile armies will be destroyed by fire. They'll be cast into the bottomless pit. Revelation 11, you have the second resurrection. We're the great white throne judgment. The second resurrection, what's the second resurrection? That's the unsaved. That's the unjust. That's the people who have never, in every from the very, very beginning of time, all those who did not believe the message that was given to them will be raised at that time. They will go before the great white throne judgment. And the result of the great white throne judgment is they will be cast into the bottomless pit too. When that takes place, then there's going to be a creation of a new heaven and earth. Now, the new heaven and earth is not the millennial kingdom. See, that happens after. The new heaven and earth is the place that God had promised Israel that they would have an eternal, everlasting kingdom. I got 1 minute. Will you turn to Revelation chapter 21? I'll just get through this very quickly and then we'll be through with this. Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. By the way, you can compare this with 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says the same thing. And I, John, saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for a bride adorned for her husband. Now, the new Jerusalem is a city that's 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles deep, and 1,400 miles high. Now, some believe it's a cube, some believe it's the shape of a pyramid. I'm not sure which it is, but that's how large it is. And it's the place of the bride. Who's the bride? The church. And it comes down out of heaven, and it's suspended above this earth. And in that city, there's no temple. Because in that city, we'll have the light of God. That will be where God is. That will be where Christ is. We will not need. That's him. He is the temple. And we will dwell there, above the city. Do we have access to the earth? I suspect we will, to the new heaven and earth. Just like we'll have access to the millennial kingdom. I think we'll have access to the millennial kingdom too. Now, I'll let you mull over all that, and we'll pick it up next week, and if you have questions, I'll try to answer. We just painted the picture very broad. I just want to give you a picture that when he says that there's desolations coming, there are desolations coming. And the end of Satan and the end of the Antichrist is going to happen. I just wanted you to get that broad picture. I have a lot more to say on the rapture. So don't think I'm done. I'm not done yet. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for your love and your kindness and your grace. We thank you that you've delivered us from the wrath to come. Lord, the terrible things that are happening on this earth. And we thank you that we're not a part of it. We pray for Israel. We pray for the Jewish people. And Father, that they might be saved. We pray that your promise might be fulfilled in them so that they understand it and claim it and gather it in for themselves. But Father, we just pray for the church. It's growing weaker and weaker as the days go by and the testimony is clouded, not clear. So many other things taking its place. We'd ask, Lord, that you might just give to us a realization of what's happening and what's going to take place. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.